If the media coverage from left and right is any sign, Cardinal George Pell has angered many people with his evidence this week to the Royal Commission into Institutional Child Sex Abuse. Cardinal Pell has testified via video link from Rome into what he knew about predator priests in Ballarat in the 1960s and 70s and 80s, especially when he was a young cleric. When asked about serial pedophile Gerald Ridsdale, with whom he shared a house for a while, the Cardinal said he wasn't interested at the time in stories of Ridsdale's crimes. This obviously raises questions about a culture that encourages such attitudes. But are there also church rules that provoke a culture of silence or denial? Kieran Tapsell is a lawyer and former acting judge in New South Wales. He's also the author of Potiphar's Wife, The Vatican's Secret and Child Sexual Abuse. And Kieran Tapsell joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Before we get to matters of doctrine and canon law, which you believe are at the heart of this, can I just reflect on George Pell's statement about the pedophilia of Gerard Ridsdale? He said, it was a sad story and of not much interest to me. Now, is that likely to become the defining statement of his career?
It sounds really implausible. Because when he became Archbishop, he's often boasted about how he did something about it. And it seems, unless he had this incredible road to Damascus in later years, it just seems implausible. I think it's just amazing that anyone in that position in the church who had heard about things like that would say he wasn't interested in it.
You're not the only person to use the suggestion that his comments are implausible. I mean, that's coming from the Royal Commission itself. What, beyond that individual line that it was not of much interest to me, what else strikes you as implausible?
Oh, well, the fact that he didn't know anything. He's now, I think, suggested that three lots of people have deceived him. And I think that's been put to him directly by the Council assisting the Royal Commission.
What is the culture that produces that sort of response?
Firstly, protecting the church, and also, of course, protecting himself. They say he's number three. He doesn't say he's number three in the Vatican, but he's very high up in there. But it's also trying to protect himself and also trying to avoid the very issues that this Royal Commission is trying to get at, and that is systemic issues. It's all right to sort of blame people, say this guy fell down, that guy fell down, which is what he's been doing. But we are talking about systemic issues here. And that's really what the Royal Commission has to be looking into.
I want to ask about those systemic issues in a moment, but the culture, are we talking here about a culture of silence or a culture of willful ignorance? Well, I just didn't want to know.
Well, I find that hard to believe, to be honest, but certainly in terms of the culture of silence, because the culture of silence over matters like sexual abuse of children was actually written into canon law. Now, I'm not saying that canon law caused the culture. This culture happened before that. And in any system of law, whether it's civil law or canon law, the law itself will reflect a culture. But in addition, the very fact that a law is in force will reinforce that culture.
But there's also what George Pell has been relying on, this sort of hierarchical defence over the Ridsdale matter. It's up to the bishop to act. It's not up to those of us, you know, mere priests.
Look, it may well be that in the structures of the church there was this sort of responsibility, but it just beggars the imagination that particularly someone who's up and coming in the church could see that it was going to really badly affect the church and wouldn't be taking it up to the highest point.
Okay, well, culture's one thing, but you've advised the Royal Commission that the real problem is in black and white. It is written into the church's law, and it's a church law that goes back almost 100 years. What is that problem, Kieran?
The problem is that the church, in fact, had quite a good reputation prior to the 1917 Code of Canon Law and prior to the instruction of Pope Pius XI of Crimen Solicitationis that priests who sexually abuse children should be dismissed from the priesthood and should be handed over to the civil law.
And this was the law of the church for centuries up until 1917.
Well, say 15 centuries.
Right.
15 centuries. Then in 1917, all these old decrees which said they had to be handed over were repealed. And then in 1922, Pope Pius XI issued his instruction, Quemen Solicitationis, which said that the secret of the Holy Office applied to all information about child sexual abuse.
And what's the secret of the Holy Office?
It's effectively the secret of the confessional, except with this difference. The secret of the confessional is regarded as being inviolable, that is, no exceptions. The secret of the Holy Office can be dispensed with, but only by the Vatican. So there's no dispensation. It is effectively the secret of the confessional, and it's a permanent silence. No one can say anything about what happened, about the information.
And is this the so-called pontifical secret?
The secret of the Holy Office was abolished by Pope Paul VI in 1974 and replaced with the pontifical secret. In the pontifical secret, he actually expanded the reach of this strict secrecy so that it not only applied to information which might be obtained by the Church in a canonical inquiry, but to the very allegation itself. That has been continued and applied by Pope Paul, John Paul II in 2001, and again by Benedict XVI in 2010, and Benedict even expanded the reach of the pontifical secret.
And this pontifical secret, it is designed, first of all, to protect the reputation of the Church. Their other thinking was, what, to spare the faithful from being scandalised by the crimes of their priests?
Well, I think that is the reason, but very often they say, oh, it was to protect the reputations of the people concerned. Well, I suppose it does, but these are serious crimes.
So, Kieran, if we look, for example, at what appears to be two polar opposites, Cardinal Pell and his responses, and then at the other end, Cardinal Sean O'Malley of Boston, who has a very good reputation for dealing with child sexual abuse, cleaning up the mess that was left to him in the Boston Diocese. When Cardinal O'Malley says it is the position of the Church that crimes against children must be reported to police, he's only really talking from the heart. There's nothing in the Church's laws to back him up?
In fact, it's quite the opposite. In fact, what he said should be canon law, but it isn't, because the dispensation for reporting as against the pontifical secret only applies where there is a civil law requiring reporting. And Cardinal O'Malley specifically said, look, there is an ethical and moral obligation to report whether there's a civil law to report or not. People in Australia forget that there's only two states which have comprehensive reporting laws, and that's New South Wales and Victoria.
Bringing to bear all your knowledge as a lawyer and as an acting judge, what have you advised the Royal Commission to do?
Well, firstly, all civil laws have to be changed to make mandatory reporting. But the other thing which concerns me is, and this is on a wider thing and not just concerns Australia, is that you mentioned Cardinal O'Malley then as saying all complaints should be reported.
Now, that's two civil authorities,
and that is exactly what the two committees of the United Nations asked of Pope Francis. That's the Committee Against Torture and the Committee for the Rights of the Child, for there to be mandatory reporting, irrespective of the civil laws. Pope Francis, in September 2014, refused. And he said, well, that would be interfering with the sovereignty of independent states. Well, canon law interferes with the sovereignty of independent states as much as the rules of golf. You can have all these sorts of rules within individual organisations, and they don't interfere with national sovereignty. It may well be that Francis is going to change his mind, and hopefully that statement by Cardinal O'Malley might indicate a change of mind. But that's what has to happen. There has to be, under canon law, a change so that there is compulsory reporting. Could I just add this? There's a well-known Australian ethicist who died just not so long ago, Nicholas Tonti Filippini. He told the Australian bishops back in about 1990, you cannot keep this under the lid. You have to report all complaints to the civil authorities. Now, to their credit, the Australian bishops, at least in 2010, said they are all to be reported, but it's contrary to canon law in some circumstances.
Just finally, Kieran, you've looked, as we've said, very closely at canon law secrecy. Are the sort of comments that we have been hearing, I didn't know, they didn't tell me, it wasn't my responsibility, how much of this is related to the point that you're making?
Well, I don't think it's really related very much at all, except that if in fact it's true then that's one of the problems that the pontifical secret created. It actually prevented people who were not directly involved in an investigation to discuss it with anyone else.
Well, Kieran Tapsell, as I said, a lawyer, a former New South Wales acting judge and author of Potiphar's Wife, The Vatican's Secret and Child Sexual Abuse. He's also advised in a submission, the Royal Commission. Thank you very much for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report, Kieran.
Thank you, Andrew.